Revelation 4, verse 8. Revelation 4 and 5, in the throne room scene of heaven. In order, the book is going in perfect order. As I said before, Revelation is made harder than it is, because we get wound up and confused by apocalyptic visions, which are communicating a pretty general truth usually, and we can make it too hard by trying to make them specifically attached to something that we just don't know anything about. But this is very clear, even to those who do that. Verse 8, we'll pick up Revelation 4. The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures, or living beings, their angels, give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Let's pray. Lord, we are glad to be able to have a glimpse into heaven. We live on earth, but we're always, Lord, to have heaven in mind as we live in this world. That it is a place that we are destined to go as your people. The throne is a place we are destined to be, no matter where we are in our relationship with you. The rich, the great, the poor, all will stand before you and give account of our lives, and whether we've come to Christ, whether we've been forgiven. So, Lord, it is a constant thing for us to be involved with in our minds and hearts. So, Lord, we pray that our attention will be focused properly on it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just a few months away from one of the most boring events in the history of the world. A few short months from now, all over the country, graduation services will commence. And could there be anything more boring than a graduation service? I thought it sequels graduation from college. I thought the guy nailed it right on the head. He knows it's boring. The speaker got up. He knows how bad people want to leave. And he said, as Elizabeth Taylor said to her seventh husband, "I won't keep you long." And so it was, he was quicker with it. I thought it was great. I mean, he recognized the fact that it's not a place we wanted to be, necessarily. Although we were there for pride and joy, and the parents gather. And if you're a parent, you're probably going to have to sit through, at minimum, two graduations per child. So you do the math. And they'll all be boring, especially when, as my wife graduated from a very large high school, and you have like 18 million people getting diplomas. And of course, the kind thing is to sit there while everybody else goes through. If your last name is Aaron, you want to leave then. First name out. But you know, you're in the zebra area, and you've aged right before the eyes of all the graduates. So although people are there for joy, we're glad things happen and want to celebrate that, once we leave, we're done. Once we're out of there, that's the real rejoicing. Because it's just an event that does not really grip you. I don't know of anybody who says when they leave a graduation, "Oh, I just went so fast. Oh, I wish we could do it again." It's over. Many see what we see here in heaven, this scene here. You see what I just read and what we see in chapter 4. And all the gathering around the throne, the 24 elders, the living beings, the angels. All that as like a graduation service to the extreme. They see it as very boring. Because the service here, a graduation service, as long as it is, ends. These, day and night, offer unending praise and service before the throne. To him who lives forever and ever, it never ends. So, some look at this and they say, this is boring. That's church. I don't want to sit through church that long. I'm surely not going to want to do that in heaven. And so, rather than want to go to heaven, people start thinking they want to stay away from it. Because they misread this, of course. And it seems to them to be boredom. And so there's a lot of consternation from worldly-minded people. And they actually think they better live out their lives now, because if they're going to heaven, there's not going to be any fun there. They better have their fun now. If you're going to live it up, you better live it up now. If you're going to sow your wild oats, you better do it now. Now's when you're going to have to watch every episode of Star Trek. It's not going to be in heaven, obviously. You've got to live it here so that in their minds, and this is how warped we are, life is here and death is there. Excitement is here and boredom is there. And that's the devil's plan to get us not to seek the Lord, as among other things that he uses. It's a perversion not to want to go to heaven. But there are many, many people who do not want to go to heaven. There are many people who want to go to hell because they think it's going to be a party there. I've heard a number of people tell me that. Oh, yeah, you Christians go to heaven, but the party's going to be in hell, and that's where I'm going to be. Well, you know, party hardy. There's not going to be that. But in the minds of those who are deceived, we want to spin it in such a way that it's really not that bad. If you miss a movie, oh, I wanted to see that movie. Oh, I missed that movie. And then somebody says, it was an awful movie. Well, you feel better because you missed it. Well, people look at this, they say, oh, I want to go to heaven. Well, look at it here. Oh, yeah, I'm glad to miss that. That's the devil's trickery. Revelation teaches us that Jesus Christ is the exalted Lord and King. No vote was taken. No opinions were given. He is that in himself. He is that to the churches, Revelation 2 and 3. He is that to the world. From this point in Revelation 4 to the end, this is the Lord showing that he is not just glorious in himself, not just sovereign to the churches, but he is also Lord of all the earth. Every person on earth is subject to the rule of Christ. Not just Christians, not just believers, but all the Muslims are, all the unbelievers are, all the atheists are, all the Hindus are. Every creature, all creatures of our God and King, are subject to the rule of Christ. And that's just reality. Some people don't like who's president now. Some people didn't like who's president last time. Reality bites. It's what it is. You get through it. People who can't get through it are having a time right now. And they're going to have a time. And God forbid to them, if our president is reelected again, they'll just be dead because they're almost that way now. So it's just reality. We don't necessarily want it to be. I sometimes will take a food item and I'll look at the carbohydrate table on the back. And I'm looking for 2 to 3 carbohydrates because that's nothing. And it says 48. Now, I can't get over that. You know, this honey bun really should be 2 or 3. 48? Well, You have to live with it. So what do? Well, you either eat it and pump your insulin up or be glad you don't have diabetes, or you just put it back down, which is what I do lately at least. So that's reality. And the reality has to be dealt with. If your car runs out of gas, that's reality. You can't say, my car has gas, and it starts back up. It just doesn't. So that's the reality to all the world. But people look at it different. People actually believe that God made them for them. That God made them to serve them. That the reason God made us was to give us things. Nobody makes anything for that. Nobody buys a car and says, let's get a car that doesn't work well so we can pour thousands of dollars into it to get it repaired. It's not about the car, it's about you. And the Lord did not make us for us, He made us for Him. And so people get mad at God when He underperforms in serving them, because that's the purpose they believe that God has made them, to serve them, to give them things. And if they don't, they're mad. We mentioned Fatback earlier. Suppose somebody comes after this sermon, hears it online or somewhere, and comes and says, listen, I heard that low cholesterol problem you got. David will throw you in on this too. I will supply you every week with as much fat back as you can eat. And I'll bring it prepared, fried up, to your door. And they bring it. And I look at it and I say, you know, this fat back is a little bit curly there. It's hard for me to eat that. Could you do better? What? That means then you see your fat back flying right out the door. You don't do that. You're grateful. But people aren't grateful to the Lord. That's one thing that Romans 1 says is a sign of unbelief, that they were not grateful. Created beings are not grateful to God. They don't recognize that God made them for Himself. That's a very dangerous disconnect. That's like going bungee cord jumping without the bungee cord. That disconnect is fatal. And the scene here is just before judgment on earth, as we'll see as we continue on. It's a fatal disconnect. So what is the purpose of creation? Look here what is said in verse 11. Worthy are you, O Lord, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will, they existed and were created. All of that, praise to God, glory to God, honor and power to God, is because He created all things because of His will. It starts and ends with the Lord. The Lord is the beginning. If a man decides he needs a place for his tools, he's going to build a tool shed. Not something you'll ever hear come out of my mouth. But a man wants to build a tool shed. Builds a tool shed. What is the tool shed for? It's not for tools. It's for the convenience of the owner of the tools. Puts the tools in there. Puts them up. Knows where they are. Knows where to find them. Tools can't complain. They got a place to stay. They could be laying around in the garage, on the floor, under the truck, out in the field somewhere. Man builds a tool shed because he wants a tool shed. It serves him. He's happy with it. God made us, and if we serve Him and do according to His plan, He's happy with that. 24 elders praise God that it was by His will that all things were created. They cast their crowns before the throne. We see verse 10. They take no glory in themselves. Part of glorifying God is taking no glory of our own. We don't want it. God rewards us by grace. There's gracious rewards. We recognize even that is a gift from God. So we don't have any glory of our own. We're not made to to compete with God or to stand with God. And when God seeks His own glory, that's the best thing. I'm fine if I'm on a plane, which I plan not to be on. But if I'm on a plane and the pilot is cocky, he thinks he's the best pilot, and when he lands the plane, he gets out, does a moonwalk on the airport runway. He got me on the ground, I'm fine with that. His glory is my well-being. If he landed that thing nose down first, flipped it over a few times, he's not going to be doing a moonwalk, and I'm not going to be having any glory in him either. But if he does it right, well, we're fine with it. When the Lord seeks His own glory, we're fine with that, because everything's right then. And it's only sin that makes us think that we're better off without that. The Bible says in Romans 5:13 or Romans 11:36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. For of Him, source, through Him, the means, and to Him, the destination, are all things." That's the cycle God makes us to fulfill. It is never about us. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. And that's good. When He creates all things for Himself, that means they're all good. Unending practice of sin would be bad. The way we are in a perverted way in sin is we think the more sin we can do and get away with, the better off we'd be and the happier we are. Living it up. You know what living it up is for all my life? Living it up is getting drunk and ended up in a gutter somewhere. And you lived it up, boy, you'll talk about school the next day. Oh, we really had a good time. Perverse. There's nothing good and fun about that. As Tozer said, one of his writings is, there's no wisdom in sin. That's a perversion the devil brings to the world. Jesus prayed that the Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's not done on earth as it is in heaven at this point. When God finishes His plan, it will be just what it's supposed to be. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll all be doing His will, or we'll be judged for naught. All judgment will be taken care of. And what's not good about that? I'll tell you what's not good. Murder, rape, abuse, hatred, strife, spite, thievery, corruption. We get out all the time because the world is not submitted to the Lord. So this is the correction. This is the end of that. We're asking God to do His will. We're asking God to take His glory, to do what He wants to do, what He set out to do. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. This is why we see verses like this. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Okay, where does that cover? Eating, drinking, and whatever you do. Those three things. That covers everything. "Oh, but I'm not a Christian." That has absolutely no point. Everybody is under the same rule of law. Everybody is under the same king. You don't have to like it or dislike it. It's just the way it is. How many of you wanted to fly? I mean, not in a plane. Up and away, that kind. You know? Put a cape on. Get you a red S on the shirt. Take off. You know what keeps you from that? Not will, gravity. You can fly down. They call that falling. But I mean, flying, we can't do that. Gravity makes sure we don't get it done. That's just what we have to deal with. And so everything we do, we're to seek the glory of God. Every action, because the Bible tells us that that's the definition of sin. All have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. The manifestation of sin is we do not seek God's glory, we seek our own. We want to be happy. We want to be pleased. We want our will. That is not seeking the glory of God. That is the acting out of sin. That's the character of sin. It's not a feature, it's a defect. So, back to this throne room scene. Is it boring around the throne? And again, the reason we ask questions like that or people make these observations is because sin has perverted reality. Some people have a fever at times. I had a fever once and saw a woman walking across the room with a watermelon. I've told you that before. I was a kid. They told me later that she wasn't really there, but I saw her. But I had a fever. If your head goes off somehow, you may see things that aren't there. Someone later will tell you they weren't there. But that's a blurring of reality or an imagination or a hallucination. Sin has perverted us that way, to where we look at the Lord and we look at heaven and we see something entirely different. People look at this and they say, this is not what I want to do. It's not about what I want to do. That's what people look at heaven and they say, I want to go to heaven to do what I like to do here. I want to go to heaven and do my will. That's completely perverted. It makes people think they're better off in their condition. That's part of the deception of the devil. If you're better off, then over there. If you can't get tickets to the Super Bowl, you want to convince yourself that you're actually better off not going. Sit at home, eat some snacks, watch it on TV, in the comfort of your own home. Maybe do whatever you can to make it. You understand? You're not that bad off. Well, that's what people do with sin. They're better off. It's better. I'd have to do all these things, these thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and this is how they talk about it. Freedom is looked upon by sinners as doing whatever I want to do. That's actually bondage in the Scripture. Because what you want to do is sin by nature. It means when you're living, it means frolicking in sin. When you talk about excitement, it means nothing about God. All that's boring. It's even been found that or claimed that zeal for Christ is actually the worst way to live. It's actually unhealthy. People will tell you it's unhealthy to live for Christ. So, is this a boring thing? You know what's boring to me? Opera is boring. Do you like opera? You know, I've actually heard some opera that's pretty interesting for a small snippet in time. I am not, this probably surprises you, I am not an opera aficionado. I don't really care for it. But some people go, what? You don't know what you're missing. And I say, that is the absolute exact point I'm trying to make. I'm missing it. But they say, you really should get into it. Well, golf is interesting to me. Some people don't play golf. They watch it on TV and they go, they're whispering when they hit. And it's already boring. And they're just hitting the ball and going to chase it. And it's absolutely no point to it. So we have two perspectives. We find some things interesting and some things boring, but the things we find interesting are those things that we are interested in. And the reason people look at this and find it boring is because they have no interest in God. They have no interest in praising God. They're not seeking the glory of God. So they find all that very boring. And they also misconstrue what's actually being shown in Revelation. Because they have no heart for it. It's very difficult. If you're not hungry, for example, to eat. It's very difficult to make yourself do something that you don't have an impulse to do. And if your heart is not wired and made new to seek the things of God, it is very difficult to turn that. It takes the new birth, a new heart. And people outside of Christ actually are the ones who are being lulled to sleep. But look what the Bible says is bad. What we have. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Proverbs says, we talked about self-destruction, the foolishness, waywardness, being tumultuous, not at peace in our hearts, lost. We could use a little bit of boredom of that kind here than what we get in this world. If I ever learn to cook, and I'm never going to, I think, if I ever do, I know what's going to, the first day is going to be. I can do some eggs, and I can heat up some waffles, Eggos. But I'm going to be in the kitchen the first day, and I'm going to be standing in the middle of the kitchen, and I will not know what to do first. And whenever I've cooked, and I've cooked, that doesn't mean I know how to cook. Whenever I've cooked, you can't get everything to finish at the same time. I'm over here doing this, and this thing over here is done. I got 20 minutes on this. And I'm going to be leaning on someone to tell me how to cook. Well, we should be leaning on the Lord to tell us how to live. He tells us what life is. He tells us what death is. And people feel like they can pick when they have no idea. The Lord reveals that eternal life is to know the Father and the Son. So people look here at this scene and they go, this is not very much going on in heaven. Is this what happens day and night, forever and ever? This throne room scene? Will we really allow Satan to warp heaven into one room and one thing? Are people really going to look and say, well, I got four rooms in my house. There's only one room in heaven and they're all doing the same thing all the time. This is boring. Are we going to let Satan twist it like that? All this is an event before judgment that we see here in Revelation. It's a proclamation of judgment, and a whole lot of things happen in heaven. We just don't know a lot more than that happened on earth. For example, there's no eating here, and we have a marriage supper of the Lamb and all that to do. There's a lot. Joy, joy, joy everywhere. But the problem is that our minds are of sinners is set away from the glory of God. The first point of the Westminster Catechism, shorter catechism, which is great except when it talks about baptism. And we study here once on Wednesday nights. It says this, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We don't hear enough of that. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Heaven is not where we do what we want to do and what we did here. Now, I hear people say a guy was a farmer and he died. And so in heaven, he's farming. A man was a fisherman. He loved to fish. And now he's in heaven fishing. That's not in the Bible. That's saying that heaven is just a repeat of what we do here, except on steroids. We do it more. Heaven is about God. Heaven is where we do what God wants us to do. And we see that here in this scene. That the worship, the falling down before Him, worshiping, giving glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and to Him who lives forever and ever. All of that's about God. That is the point. Is that when we're sinners, we're wandering from God, we're glorifying ourselves, and finally, God is going to bring it to the end where we are actually doing what we were made to do and glorifying Christ. The desires of our heart, if a man's ways please the Lord, he gives him the desires of our heart. The desires of our heart, really, if we're right, are to seek the heart of God. And God will gladly give that to us. Well, one final thing, the aspects of heaven. What is going on here? I realize I don't want to take it out of context that this is before the judgments we see following in Revelation 6 onward. But this is a heavenly scene, and there are things happening here that will be true of all who go to heaven. Because our end is to praise God's glory and grace. When God saves us, that's what He says. In Ephesians 1, the Bible never says that we're saved to be out of hell, but to live for ourselves. This is the way many people see it. I'm going to go forward in church, and I'm going to get out of hell. I got to get out of hell free card, and that's my life. And I'll just do what I want to do, but at least I got that covered. Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And there are other things there through Scripture that say the same thing. That it's for God's glory that we're saved. In heaven here, we see praising God, being with God, living full lives in the presence of God, exalting in the judgments of God. That's all that is true of everybody in heaven. That's life. Some of you are amazed at me. I don't drink coffee. I don't like broccoli. And some of you say, well, if you had the taste buds that I have, you would love coffee, and you would love broccoli, and a bunch of other stuff. And so there's something wrong with me. Something's not right, and I'm not going to go down that path too far. But if you just understood how good this was, if you really understood how reaching your hand in a pudding pot and pulling out what's in it and eating it right there raw on the spot. If you understood how good that was, he'd be doing that. Well, I'll agree with this. I don't have the taste buds for it. But those not hungry for the Lord have that problem spiritually. If a person is not hungry for the Lord, their spiritual taste buds are off. And here on earth, we can pick and choose what we like to eat and what we don't like to eat, and it's not sinful. But if we don't like the Lord, that's the ultimate sin. And one day, all who know Christ will taste and see that the Lord is good in eternity and forever. And all who will not see that the Lord is good and taste and see that the Lord is good will suffer for eternity the consequences of that. Because God is going to bring His purpose for creation, which is to save His elect and to magnify His judgment upon those who have not believed. He's going to bring all that full circle to the end. And that will be eternity. And it will be good in every way, even in the judgment of sinners. Let's pray. Lord, because of You, we're here. Because of Your creation, we exist. And we're thankful, Lord, because we enjoy the life You've given, although there are many trials. But Lord, You have a purpose, and we pray that purpose will be done, that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that, Lord, You receive the glory that is here manifest before the throne from us in this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.